So what exactly is St. Louis de Montfort's consecration? Stay right there because we're about to discuss it. Hey there, you. Welcome to the show. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek. Yes, it is Sunday and I'm here. It's a little unusual for me to get used to be here on the weekends, but that's what we're doing with our 33-day preparation to total consecration. Believe it or not, today is day three. So you see, we're really going through this. It's going to happen. You're going to see that you will be well into this and you'll be amazed at how quickly it's going to progress. Today on the program, we're going to take a look at what is St. Louis de Montfort's consecration. It's a two-parter. We'll talk about this today and tomorrow. And then since it is Sunday, we're going to also look at the Sunday Mass readings. We have some good ones today. So I've got a lot to cover because typically we don't have this many readings. But since it is Sunday, we're going to try to get them all in. We'll see what happens. So first of all, let me welcome you to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program basically for the next 30-plus days. We're going to do it every day. I was presented some information that I wanted to pass along to you. I've been saying that the podcast in iTunes is a day late, but I was told that that is not true anymore. I'm really happy about that, but I was not aware of that fact. So apparently the podcast of this program in iTunes is current, so you will be able to listen to it during the same day, which is good news. But however you want to listen to the program, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're participating. And remember, let's take this one day at a time. And if you have any questions, you please feel free, and I really mean this, to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. You know that I want you to do this consecration because I know it's going to bring you closer to Jesus. So it's typical to have questions. It's typical to have doubts. It's typical to have concerns. It's typical to look at your life and say, well, it's not mattering. It doesn't matter if I do this. I've done it before. I'm not any better. It does matter, and we'll talk more about that as we go forward. A lot of times there are changes that are happening to you that you don't even see. If the church tells us that this devotion works, we have to believe that it works. What we can do is give it our best effort and put our best effort into it, and that will help us to grow closer to Our Lady, which essentially will take us closer to Jesus. If you have questions, though, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Right now, let's pray and ask our Heavenly Father to be with us and to help us on the program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for all the blessings in your life. We ask you to help us as we continue to proceed down this path toward total consecration to your Son, Jesus, through Mary. Help us, Father, send your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to open our hearts, and to be more willing and more determined to go through with this consecration and to really be able to appreciate the fruits. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today. Please open our hearts and minds to be receptive to your message. Please bless all of us who are making the consecration, our families, and all those who we encounter throughout the day. Help us be a light shining in the darkness. We ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her help as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, I've got my window open today. It's another gorgeous day. And in fact, there's a church playing hymns. I can hear the bells. I don't know if you'll be able to pick this up on the radio, but I hear the bells ringing as I'm recording this program, playing all kinds of great hymns. I just heard, Holy God, we praise thy name. So in case you start hearing music, you're not nuts. It really might be happening. But I've got my nice tall glass of water here. I'm ready to get started. Let's take a look at the Mass readings. Let's take a look at the material from Father Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, for Day 3. Now, this is de Montfort's Consecration, Part 1. We'll do Part 2 tomorrow. Okay. So, I like the way Father Gately writes. It's very conversational, isn't it? Okay, so on the first day of the week, we asked for a greater passion and zeal in making our preparation for consecration. Then yesterday, we pondered the incredible influence that de Montfort's brief life has had on the church. The powerful testimony of authorities no less than popes should have further fired our zeal and gotten us reflecting. What is this amazingly influential teaching of a priest who only lived to be 43? Of course, it's his teaching on Marian consecration, but what exactly does this mean? So just to recap, day one, we talked about having a zeal. Father Gately reminded us that we should really care about making this consecration and do whatever we can to put our heart and soul into it so that we can get the most out of it, right? That's day one. Day two, we looked at the fact that six popes recommended this total consecration as being a very effective and powerful devotion. So therefore, we start to see that St. Louis de Montfort, he knew what he was talking about. Today, we're going to unpack it a little bit more. We've talked about it in the past, but we're going to unpack it some more. What is Marian consecration? What really is it? Father Gately states, recall the summary of Marian consecration in the introduction to this retreat. Now, that's in the introduction in the book. I also talked about some of the concepts in our pre-retreat show on this past Thursday. There I presented consecration as our giving a yes to Mary, allowing her to fulfill in us her God-given task of forming us into other Christs. And that's all true, but there's more. St. Louis gives two emphases in his teaching on Marian consecration that expand what we've already read about it. These two emphases are, number one, a renewal of our baptismal vows, and number two, a particularly intimate gift of ourselves to Mary. Let's look at each one of these in turn, one today and one tomorrow. And before we go on, let's briefly talk about our baptismal promises, or sometimes called vows. A lot of us, myself included, had these promises made for us by our godparents because we were infants. But many of us have had the opportunity to, as an adult, to be baptized and to make these promises. Every time we sin, we're not living up to them. Now, I mention that not to make you feel bad, but to get you a little motivated and realize that this total consecration is something that will help you to better live out those baptismal promises. There are obligations that we have when we are baptized. It's not a free ride. And if we're struggling with it, and again, the way to tell is, are you sinning? If you're sinning, then you need some help. That's what we're headed toward with total consecration. Okay, Father Gately states, the day of our baptism is the most significant in each of our lives. It's when we poor, sinful creatures are not only cleansed of sin, but also given the amazing dignity and honor of being transformed into sons and daughters of the Almighty God. On that joyous occasion, before we received this amazing grace, we solemnly promised, or if we were infants, others promised in our name, to reject Satan. And then we, or others in our name, professed our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. Then every Easter, we solemnly renew this promise and commitment. But do we keep it? Are we true to our word? No. We all sin. Sadly, we all give in to Satan's pomps and works and reject Christ, at least in little ways. And a lot of times, these little ways, we brush them off, saying, oh, that's not a big deal. But it is a big deal, because we are rejecting Christ. And don't think I'd be telling you this if I didn't have a solution. I'm not here to depress you. I'm here to give you the solution. That is why we're doing total consecration. We want to get better. All right, Father Gately, why does this happen? The simple answer is original sin. We have a fallen nature, and we're prone to sin. That's true. But St. Louis invites us to go deeper and examine our consciences. If we do, we'll discover that a principal reason why we fall into sin is because of forgetfulness of our promise and commitment to Christ at baptism. De Montfort suggests that if we were to personally and sincerely renew our baptismal vows and place them in the hands of Mary, then this act alone would go a long way in overcoming sin in our lives. Therefore, he makes such a renewal of vows an essential element of his prayer of consecration. In fact, the very first paragraph of this prayer, In the very first paragraph of this prayer, he has us address Mary and pray to her as follows. I, a faithless, and you're supposed to put your name there, I, Gary Zimak, a faithless sinner, renew and ratify today in thy hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce forever Satan, his pomps and works, and give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. Now, this prayer, this excerpt, comes from St. Louis de Montfort's consecration prayer. And honestly, you have to admit, we really don't think about this. We don't think about these baptismal promises that were made. We don't really think, except on Easter, when we renew them, we don't really think about them every day. When I'm about to commit a sin, I'm just thinking the instant gratification that I'm getting from that sin, you know, and I just want it. I don't really care. We need to be aware of this. And this is where the Blessed Mother can help us. And for anyone who is thinking that it's not working for me, I made my total consecration, I'm still a nasty person, you really don't know the impact that this total consecration is having on you. Because the fact of the matter is, you might be feeling like a big sinner, but the reason you might be feeling like a sinner is because the Holy Spirit, at the request of Mary, is making you more aware of your sins. That's a known fact that when men and women enter into religious life, they have this tendency to see all their defects. And when people start going to frequent confession, they're more aware of sins they never thought about before. And here they think they're committing all kinds of new sins, but in reality, what's happening is they're just having a heightened awareness of their sins. So we can't rule out that with Mary's intercession, the Holy Spirit's working in a different way than we would expect, so that we might think we're not getting better, but really what's happening is we are becoming more aware of our sinfulness. Okay, so Father Gately states, so St. Louis has us attack sin right at its root, Satan and his pomps and works, has us recommit our lives to Christ, and has us do all of this with and through Mary. Why through Mary? Because God has put enmity between her and Satan. See Genesis 3:15. And Satan can't stand her. In fact, according to St. Louis, Satan fears her not only more than the angels and saints, but in a sense, even more than God himself. That's a radical statement, isn't it? Why? Because, as he puts it, Satan, being proud, suffers infinitely more from being beaten and punished by a little and humble handmaid of God, and her humility humbles him more than the divine power. I mean, you think about it, if somebody is proud like Satan, obviously that is going to really get to him. That was a quote from St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary, and I really recommend you read it. You have to remember, it's written in the 18th century. Some of the language is a bit difficult at times. He speaks in a different way, and he mentions some concepts that might seem a little unsettling at times. But if you feel you're up to it, it really is a good book. You just have to put it into context and remember that it was translated from French into English. And there are going to be some things that might be a little difficult to understand at times. But all in all, it's a great book. So, de Montfort gives us a practical and effective way to overcome sin in our lives. Formally renounce Satan and recommit ourselves to Christ through Mary. We'll hear more about Mary's power over evil on the last day of this week. Tomorrow, we'll reflect on the second element of St. Louis' consecration, the particularly intimate gift of ourselves to Mary. Today, let's reflect on the promise we made at our baptism to reject Satan and to love and follow Christ. And really, that's the takeaway for today. We made a promise, or somebody made a promise on our behalf when we were baptized, to reject Satan and to love and follow Christ. Every time we sin, that's not what we do. So we're going back on our promise. Therefore, what happens now? We need help. If we really love the Lord and we sincerely want to grow closer to him, we need all the help we can get. The church, through this total consecration to Jesus, through Mary, gives us the opportunity. And that's your meditation today, right? Just think about the fact that every time you sin, you are rejecting the promise that you made on the day of your baptism. And that needs to be addressed, right? Now that you know that, it needs to be addressed. This is the way we're going to address it. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, give me the grace to reject Satan and follow Christ more closely. It's very simple, isn't it? I mean, this is not an overly complicated process, this 33 days of preparation. But you see why we're doing it. We're doing it because we're meditating on things that we would otherwise not think about. When was the last time you sat down and said, hey, guess what? I really violated my baptismal promises so many times today. We don't think about that because we're distracted, because we've got a million other things going on. That's the beauty of this devotion. And each day, we're going to have a little meditation like this, or a nugget to just really wrap our brains around and think about it as you go through the day. So we're well on our way. We just put day 3 in the books now, right? 3 days down. So we've got 30 more days, and you're going to see how this will fly. If you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I've got about 15 minutes to do daily Mass readings today. Now, it's Sunday today, so it's the Lord's Day. We've got special Mass readings, and I'm going to read them all, and we're going to chat about them. This is the opportunity, and I will tie them back to the consecration. This is your opportunity to let the Lord speak to you. Up until now, we've heard from Gary, we've heard from Father Gately, but now the Lord is going to speak directly to you. So let's ask him to speak through the words of Sacred Scripture and touch each of our hearts now. These are the readings for Sunday of the 23rd week in Ordinary Time. First reading is from the reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong. Fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah. These words foreshadow and are fulfilled in the mission of Jesus Christ. And that's why this is going to be so powerful. When we look at the first reading and tie it to the gospel, there's a really strong theme that jumps out at us. But for the time being, look at that first line. The Lord said, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. There you go. There's your message for today. I know, I do a lot of work. You know me, I do a lot of work speaking and writing about overcoming worry and anxiety. I love verses like this because this is where the Lord said, hey, be strong, fear not. Why? Because I'm here with you. That's the message. And at the time this was written, God was still somewhat distant from his people. People didn't have the opportunity that we have. What's that opportunity? To know Jesus Christ, who is God and man, and who brings us closer to his Father than ever was possible in the past. That's a real blessing, and we sometimes take advantage or take it for granted. When we turn to our Blessed Mother, what's she going to do? She's going to bring you even closer to Jesus. When we sin, we're not getting closer to him, we're moving the other way. So therefore, we want to get close to him because he is such a great blessing in our lives. And we want to make sure that we get as close to him as possible. So there are some predictions or prophecies made here that the people will, they're told that when the Lord comes, when he comes close to you, this is what he's going to do. And we're going to see that directly mentioned in the gospel today. Responsorial Psalm, which is perfect for this beautiful Sunday. Praise the Lord, my soul. Psalm 146. The God of Jacob keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains. But the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. Did you catch that? The Lord gives sight to the blind. Remember that, because again, we're going to see a direct reference in the gospel. And then I'll tie it all together because it's a really powerful message. But, you know, there's a theme here in this psalm. And the theme is that the Lord hears the cries of the poor. Who are the poor? The poor are not necessarily only those who are living in financial poverty, but the poor are the humble. That could be you and I humbly recognizing that we need the Lord. And if we have a problem with that, then we need to really ask the Lord to help us become humble, or ask our Blessed Mother to help us become humble. Again, total consecration, right? Because some of us do get a little proud at times. We start to think that we are responsible for all the accomplishments in our lives. We also start to think that we can become holy all by ourselves. Both of those things, it's a sign of pride. We're not. We can't do it. We need the Lord. So we turn to Mary, who is incredibly humble, to help us become more humble. And, you know, here's another thing. Again, it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but I think this is a really important theme, and I'm going to keep targeting this. For any of us who think, I'm not getting any better, I'm a real sinner, it's good that we recognize how much of a sinner we are, because that tells us just how much we need the Lord. We can get to a point where we become self-righteous. That's what the Pharisees did. We don't want to get there, you know? And the Lord lets you fall victim to sin sometimes because he wants to remind you just how much you need him. I've experienced that so many times. I have these sins that I think I've overcome, right? You know, those sins that your favorite sins. And then what happens is I end up committing a sin thinking that I could never do that again. I'm past that. Doesn't happen to me anymore, and boom, I fall on my face. Then I realize, wow, I really need the Lord's grace. So sometimes it's a real blessing when you recognize just what a sinner you are. Second reading, St. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who were poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Here's a reminder from St. James that we shouldn't be judging other people. We shouldn't look down on anyone. We got to be really careful about that, especially as we grow in faith and we start to really feel good about practicing our faith. You know, we may have been distant from the Lord for years, then we start to feel good about ourselves. What do? We sometimes look down on other people who are where we were a few years ago. We want to be really careful and really patient. And we want to make sure that we don't do that. Don't judge people. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Love them. That's what we're called to do. And we want to make sure that we remain humble. Humility is crucial. Jesus said, those who are like little children will enter the kingdom of heaven. He has talked about humility. He did talk about humility many times. We need to be humble. We need to recognize the fact that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. We're not getting to heaven without him. We're not doing it because of our good works. We're doing the good works because he's giving us the grace to do it. Again, there's that theme of humility. Let's look at the gospel. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be open. And immediately the man's ears were opened, and his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Do you remember that first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah? "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you." This is the fulfillment, or one of the fulfillments of that prophecy. And we saw Jesus do every one of those things, opening the ears of the deaf, healing the sick, allowing those who couldn't see to see. But yet people still rejected him. Why? Because they made that mistake that St. James cautioned against in the second reading. That's not to judge anybody. They looked at Jesus and they said, "Who's this guy?" Because they started to have their own idea of what the Savior would be like, and they rejected Jesus because he didn't meet their expectations. This is something you and I could easily fall victim to, because we get our own ideas about how God is going to work in our lives, and we often reject things because we have our own ideas about how things will work. I'm going to pray for something, and then I get mad because my prayer wasn't answered in exactly the way that I requested. Well, that's being proud. That's saying to God, "I know better than you, and this is how I want my prayer answered." But if we really and truly have faith in him and recognize that he is infinitely greater than we are, we're going to accept whatever he gives us, including things that aren't necessarily pleasant to us. We do that because we love him and we trust him. What happens when we don't love him enough and trust him enough? Well, that's when total consecration. You knew I had to bring this in, right? But that's the beauty of total consecration, because there are times we don't love him and trust him enough. Let's be quite honest here. If I'm sinning, I'm not exactly expressing my love for the Lord. We need to be aware of this. It is a bigger deal than we make it out to be. So again, we have this gift. The Blessed Mother recognizes that. She gets it. And she wants to help us to overcome this. And that's why we turn to her in total consecration. That's why we're going through this. Because we want to be able to express our love for the Lord. And we want to be able to recognize him in our daily lives. What happened here, Jesus was showing that he was God. Now at this point, people were astonished. They recognized that he makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So they were accepting him, but you know, throughout the course of our Lord's life, many people rejected him, and ultimately they put him to death. So a lot of times we reject the Lord in the same way by sinning, or by refusing to hear his words, or by refusing to put his words into action, as St. James talked about, showing no partiality. Do we look down on some people? Well, see, we don't want to do that, because remember, this is God's word in the Bible. So there's your lesson today. The basic message from Father Gately was that we fail to live out our baptismal promises. On a daily basis, we do it. Let's think about that. And be thankful for the fact that there is an answer. There is help in the person of the Blessed Mother, who will draw us closer to Jesus. Let's continue to walk this path, which will lead closer to our Lord. Okay? And listen, if you got questions, you know I'm here for you. Tomorrow's Labor Day, a holiday in the United States, but I'm going to be here. We're going to do the show tomorrow. If you have questions, email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. I hope you have a beautiful day. I hope you have a wonderful, relaxing, faith-filled, peaceful day. Think about the fact that we sin, but rejoice, because help is on the way. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and God willing, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.